Welcome back. In this intermediate Ableton Live lesson, we're going to do one of those classic drum and bass moves that instantly makes your drums feel more arranged and more record-like without destroying the punch. The idea is simple. On fills, you briefly open the room, then you slam it shut again. And the clean way to do that is a reverb send rye, not a reverb slapped on your snare track, not a giant wash on the drum bus, a dedicated return track that does one job, and you automate how much signal you feed it, only during the fill. All right, let's build it in a way that's repeatable and mix safe. First, set the context. Get your project around 172 to 176 BPM. I'll use 174. In arrangement view, make a 16-bar loop. Bars 1 through 15 are your main rolling groove. Bar 16 is your fill. That fill can be a snare rush, tom run, a break slice pattern, anything. The key is you're aiming for that end of phrase punctuation. In DNB, the end of 8 bars and end of 16 bars are the money spots for this. Now, step 1. Create the dedicated reverb return. Go to Create, Insert Return Track. Name it a fill verb. Give it a single purpose. When you're consistent with return jobs like this, your sessions stay clean and automation stays easy. On this return, we'll build a stock device chain that's designed specifically for drums. First device, EQ8. Put a high pass filter on it, 24 dB per octave, somewhere between 180 and 250 Hz. Start around 220. This is non-negotiable for DNB. You do not want the low end of your drums exciting your reverb and turning your mix into fog. If your reverb tail gets pokey or harsh, you can also dip a couple dB around 2 to 4 kHz. Not always needed, but it's a great to spike zone for snare brightness. Second device, hybrid reverb. Set it to algorithmic mode. Choose plate for a tight modern DNB sheen, or room if you want a more jungle-ish vibe. Set decay time around 0.8 to 1.6 seconds. If you're unsure, 1.2 seconds is a solid default. Set pre-delay around 12 to 25 milliseconds. That pre-delay is your punch saver. It helps the transient hit you first, and the reverb blooms right after. Keep size small to medium. Keep modulation low, like 0 to 10%, so it doesn't wobble and smear your timing. And crucial, because this is a return track, set dry slash wet to 100% wet. If you leave dry signal in here, you'll get that weird double transient thing, and it'll feel facey and messy. Optional but really useful, add glue compressor after the reverb. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack around 10 milliseconds, release on auto. Bring the threshold down so you're getting maybe 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. The goal isn't to smash it. It's to keep the reverb return from spiking unpredictably when the fill gets dense. Then add utility at the end. Set width somewhere between 70 and 100%. If your mix is already super wide, especially in Euro where the bass design is huge, you'll often get better translation narrowing the reverb a bit. If you have bass mono in your version, turn it on. We are basically saying, yes to space, no to low-end chaos. Now step 2. Keep your drum routing clean so the send ride is easy. Typical layout, kick, snare or clap, hats or tops, maybe a break track. Group them into a drums group if they aren't already. The key routing rule is this. Keep your main drum bus dry and punchy, and let returner be the space. That mental rule will save you from overwetting the entire track. Step 3. Set default sends so you're not fighting your own mix. On your snare track, set send to minus infinity, fully off. Same on your break track if you have one. Hats are usually off too at the start. You can add a tiny bit later, but don't begin with hats feeding your fill reverb. It'll make your top end smear and you'll lose that crisp roll. Now step 4. Actually create the fill moment. Put your fill in bar 16. If it's a snare fill, try 16th notes or even 32 NDS near the end. A nice DNB friendly shape is, the last bar gets denser, the last half bar gets a quick stutter, and the last quarter bar has a final accent hit that feels like the period at the end of the sentence. Now the core technique, automate the send ride. Press it to show automation lanes. Go to the snare track, and choose the automation parameter for send A. If you want to speed your workflow up, here's a coaching tip. Toggle sends only in Live's mixer view when you're doing this kind of work. It helps you focus on the send automation and stops you from hunting through volume and pan lanes. Now draw your automation shape. Here's a starting curve that works in most rolling drum and bass. For bars 1 through 15, keep send at minus infinity, totally dry. When bar 16 begins, ramp the send up to somewhere around minus 18 to minus 10 dB. Where you land depends on your snare level and your reverb settings, but that's a solid target range. Then, on the last hit of the fill, give it a little extra push, maybe peak around minus 8 to minus 6 dB. That little final push is what makes the fill feel like it opens into a bigger space, right at the phrase ending. Then, and this is the important part, immediately after the fill, as you hit bar 17 beat 1, drop the send straight back to minus infinity. Dry again. That's the snap. That's the impact. Now, extra teacher note, avoid reverb jumps that feel unnatural. If you do a perfectly straight ramp up and a hard drop, sometimes it clicks or it just feels awkward, especially if your return is compressing or saturating. Try shaping the in and out differently. A fastish rise over an eighth note to a quarter note, then a tiny, hold around the last hit, then release back to zero just before the downbeat, like a few milliseconds early. That way your drop hits like a clean punch, not like the reverb is still grabbing onto it. Also, gain staging for sends matters more than people think. If your fill is way louder or denser than the main groove, your return chain will react differently on the fill. One slick fix, put a utility on the snare track before everything else, and automate a tiny level trim during the densest part of the fill, like minus 1 to minus 3 dB. That keeps the reverb behavior consistent, so you're not constantly retweaking your compressor threshold on the return. Now let's add the very DNB option. Duck the reverb under the groove. On return A, after the reverb, add the regular compressor. The reason we're using regular compressor here is the sidechain section is straightforward. Turn on sidechain. Choose your kick as the input. If you want even more control, you can sidechain from a ghost trigger, but we'll start with a kick. Set ratio to 4 to 1. Attack fast, like 1 to 5 milliseconds. Release around 60 to 140 milliseconds. I'll start at 90. Then lower the threshold until you see about 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction. When the kick hits, listen to what that does. The reverb still blooms at the end of the phrase, but it breathes around the kick, so your low-end punch stays intact and the groove doesn't smear. Now, quick routing hygiene check, because this is where people accidentally create messy sessions. On return A, keep audio to set to master. Don't start sending return A into other returns unless you have a very intentional reason, because it can create runaway buildup fast. Also decide upfront whether you want to send from individual tracks or from the drum group. The standard approach is individual tracks feeding the return, because it's surgical. The advanced approach is automating the send from the drums group, which can be cool when the fill is baked into the bus and you want the whole drum fill to widen. Just remember, if you automate the group send, everything in that group is affected, so it's easy to overdo. Now let's make it reusable, because this technique is all about speed and arrangement. Once you've got perfect one-bar send ride, copy that automation and paste it to other phrase ends. Every 16 bars, every 8 bars, wherever your arrangement needs punctuation. This keeps the track coherent. It also prevents the random effect feeling where every fill sounds like a different mix decision. If you're more clip-based, you can also automate sending inside the clip envelope for the fill clip. That's a great workflow for jungle-style edits, where you want to jam fills in and out without rewriting arrangement automation. Before we wrap, let's cover the most common mistakes so you can avoid them immediately. Mistake 1. Your return reverb isn't 100% wet. That causes doubling and transient smear. Keep the return wet. Mistake 2. Too much low end in the reverb. High pass around 200 Hz, sometimes even higher for heavier neuro. Mistake 3. Decay times that are too long. A 3 to 6 second reverb can sound sick solo, but at 174 BPM it collapses the groove. Dart around 1 to 1.6 seconds. Mistake 4. The send ramp opens too early, so your main snare starts losing punch before the fill even happens. Keep it tight. Only feed the reverb on fill notes. Mistake 5. No control. If the reverb doesn't move out of the way, it masks the kick and snare. Duck it, shorten it, darken it, or all three. Now a couple pro flavor options. If you want to push it darker and heavier without losing control, you can darken the reverb tail by putting an auto filter after the reverb. Low pass around 6 to 10 kHz. And automate a tiny cutoff movement during the fill so it feels like a designed effect instead of generic space. You can also add subtle saturator on the return. Drive 1 to 4 dB, soft clip on. It makes the tail denser and more club without just turning it up. And if you want maximum routing cleanliness, here is a really advanced but super practical trick. The ghost send trigger track. Duplicate your fill MIDI or audio to a new track. Set that new track's volume to minus infinity or route its output so you don't hear it dry, but leave its send to the fill verb active. Now your main snare track can stay completely dry, and the ghost track drives the reverb only during the fill. It's insanely easy to edit, and you never risk messing up your core drum balance. Last coaching habit, check your reverb return and mono periodically. Don't only listen for width collapse, listen for that papery transient smear. If you hear it, reduce early reflections, increase predelay slightly, shorten decay, or narrow the return width. All right, quick mini practice to lock it in. Make a 16-bar loop at 174 BPM. Kick on 1 and 3, snare on 2 and 4, hats rolling 16THS. Put a 1-bar snare fill in bar 16 with extra 16th notes. Build return a fill verb with EQ8 high pass at 220, hybrid reverb plate, decay 1.2 seconds, predelay 18 milliseconds, wet 100%, automate snare send A, minus infinity for bars 1 to 15, ramp to around minus 10 in bar 16, peak minus 7 on the last hit, then drop back to minus infinity right at the downbeat of bar 17. Add sidechain ducking on the return. Compressor 4 to 1, release around 90 milliseconds, aiming for about 4 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. Then render a quick bounce and a slash beat it against the dry version at matched loudness. The goal is really specific. The wet version feels wider and more exciting only at the phrase end and bar 1 after the fill hits harder, not softer. Recap to finish. Dedicated reverb return for fills equals predictable, clean, mixable space. Keep it 100% wet. EQ out the low end, ride the send only during the fill so the room opens and then snaps shut. Duck the return if you want that heavier rolling control. And once it's working, save the return chain as a preset so every project starts ready to go. If you tell me what kind of fills you're using, most snare rolls, break chops, or tom runs, I can suggest the most reliable automation shape and a matching fill verb tone that fits your subgenre.